it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbill. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, the Queen of Improv, the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, coming off a rare win, Miss Allie Mack. And I don't even know what to say about him anymore. I love him like a little brother, but he is a traitor, Mr. Dylan Matthews.
It is one of those things with Dylan. I was thinking about this morning. It's like, I don't even know if I feel comfortable messing with him anymore because it's starting to come to fruition.
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
Well, you just know that what you thought was a joke is actually the truth.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
It hurts.
It like starts to hit too close to home, and you're like, dude, I don't know if I even want to joke about this anymore.
He said hey to me today.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything back. And not
I
because
that.
I was trying to be rude.
That's not a just this morning
No, it was. I wanted to, and I was like, no, I don't know how I feel about you anymore.
Is it possible we have pushed Dylan into this Eagles fandom?
No. I think Dylan was in – I think – what's that word when you Dylan was groomed to be an Eagles fan by Simone. That's what it was.
You
and I give Simone all the credit in the world because – That's not hard to do to change someone's fandom, but she did it.
You three done creating false narratives this morning, or are we going to continue? I mean, what are we doing?
I don't know. Do you or do you not have audio of you chanting
I've
big champs?
I was being supportive.
Were,
I was just hyping them
pocket,
up.
Bro.
I was just hyping them up. I am a ride or die Falcons fan. I'm an ATLian. I bleed red and black.
Except for on Philly game days.
There is a direct correlation with exposure to how much you like something. Like when you hear a song for the first time, it's not going to be your favorite.
Sure.
You hear it 50 times, you're going to sing along.
I don't know.
Well, I can guarantee you he knows the Fight Eagles fight 100%.
Unfortunately, I do.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I do. It's been crammed in there.
It's actually Fly Eagles Fly, I believe.
Pause.
I don't know, Allie. I've been to the Superdome probably about almost 20 times now, and mm-hmm. I hate it just as bad now as the day I walked in there. So, and along with their fans.
Well, there's always an exception to the rule.
I do like their song though. I will say that. I like the way they sing down in New Orleans. That's
and I mean,
cool.
I don't. It's different. I mean, I would. I'm obviously gonna hate the Saints as much as I've always have. But with the Eagles, I mean, the people they treat me nice because I'm with Simone. So again, I'm not an Eagles fan, but I do respect them and I don't dislike the Eagles because again, the people at tailgates they give me free food and they talk to me nice.
Respectfully, so we're gonna move away from the Eagles.
Please, let's do.
At this point, 7:40 today. Bo is in charge of Top 5 Tuesday. Would you like to reveal your category?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and reveal it because it's not really a big deal to me. Like other ones, I want to be guarded because I want to catch people and really get them in their thoughts. But mm-hmm. this one I want people to think of because I do want interaction. This is in honor of this Sunday being our first road game. I am going to do, for me, the top five road game environments in the NFL.
Okay.
I do have a few honorable mentions, but I have been lucky enough to be in every stadium that is currently in the NFL rotation. Some that are no longer in the rotation, but I'm only doing the current ones. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. I've sent Dylan some things that go along with these stadiums. So some of their traditions that I know of, if they have one. So yeah,
I am curious. The experience you have.
I do have a tie though in one place. So there's it's technically a top six list, but I couldn't.
Wow.
I honestly couldn't. That's how close it was. So
okay.
Interesting.
Okay. 8 a.m. If you didn't get on the show yesterday to air out your Falcons opinions, we've got you during the wake-up call today. That'll be your chance. And at 8:40, On3 senior college football reporter Chris Lowe will be joining us. I'm not sure the heartbreak of Sunday's game has completely worn off. I mean, it's going to last for a moment. But we've had more time to decompress, maybe think through a few things. And we did hear from Raheem Morris yesterday. He said he is going to bring in some competition for Young Wei-Koo after missing that 44-yard field goal kick on Sunday. Not necessarily that he lost his job, but he's bringing in competition. This is not a surprise, right?
No. As a matter of fact, Drew yesterday on the Steakhouse was talking about there is like a – it's almost – and this sounds derogatory, but it's kind of how you put it, like a traveling circus. There's just a horde of kickers that go to all these tryouts every Tuesday that are trying to break back in the league. And, you know, I think that a lot of them are scheduled, you know, as far as going around to these teams and this team and that team. And we saw Matt Prater last week. I think you're just kind of kicking the tires on most of these guys. But it just so happens that we are in desperate need of somebody that can make a kick at the end of a game right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to say. Yeah, I would tell you this was already planned. And being blunt, real, honest, whatever term you want to use, this was already planned. However, I do believe that they probably added a few names that were coming in, and I believe that it changed their mindset. And Mike, you can touch on this too. They have workouts probably every week with different positions, but one of the deals that they that also with this kick, you know, with every position is you want to know what guys look like in case of emergency, right? In case of an injury or in case of your kicker essentially missing two kicks, because I count the one that bounced off the upright. If you have to hit an upright to bounce it in, and then you miss a game tying field goal, in reality, you missed two kicks, right? I mean, I know that it went in.
I'm with you.
But
I'm with you on that.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah. And those were the signals to you that maybe a change needs to be made. So I do want to hear from Raheem Morris. He was also kind of talking about the timing of all this and how you know.
But I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm the most critical kicker and what happened, what went wrong. All you know about is does it go in or does it not, for the most part. But you do have professionals and you do have experts in-house. Can go out there and look at some of the things you're looking for, whether it's the pop, the distance, the length, the consistency, whatever those things are, to try to figure out so we can help us make some of those decisions. But those will always be factors into everything that you're talking about. And, like, some of it comes with experience. Some of it comes being in that moment. So, like, some of those things always happen, man. It's like the golfer, you know. Some of those guys got experience and they know when to swing it. They know what to swing and know what club to pull out, and you gotta fall back on some of those things.
Well, I can tell you the pop, the distance, the length, those are all three very big things and a lot of different things that you'll do. But one thing I do know that hasn't really been talked about is a few years ago, Koo kind of changed his stance, and I haven't gone back and kind of completely went through the All 22 like from years ago, which maybe I will. But he has changed things, and this guy at one point in time was the most accurate kicker in the history of the NFL. He was fighting, you know, a guy who has now been released in Justin Tucker for that mantle, and then whatever he did to change his stance really sent you into a spiral.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and I know that later on in the show we'll get the, you know, some film review stuff, and I watch the offensive line, and that's the one thing I do know when I'm looking at it, like what exactly is going wrong and what's bad and what's good. When Young Wei lines up to kick, and I thought it was interesting talking to Drew Butler about it yesterday, I'm like, I just don't know. And I know that Young Wei tried to explain it in a couple of different ways, and he's talking about the turf and talking about the follow-through and talking about making, you know, tinkering. I don't know. But all I know is you got one job. And that's, I hate saying that. You guys don't ever hear me say that about kickers, but man, I'm at my wit's end with Young Wei-Koo. Like, I really am. Drew talked about it yesterday. That's a cutthroat position in a cutthroat league, and you're getting paid $5 million to make kicks like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while I try my best to be understanding of a lot of the situation these players are in because they're tough, that's a player in a position that is going to end up costing everybody else their job. You know what I mean? And that's just the nature of the beast when it comes to the kickers in this league. So it's just going back and watching it and kind of letting it kind of sit in just a little bit longer, man. It just makes me sick. Really does.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me rephrase that. I listened to the press conference. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I listened to probably over half of it, and most of the, and just in, you know, all transparency, and I listened to all of the coup stuff. And if you listen to kind of the way Raheem, and I thought our very own Mark Zeno was up there, and of course Mark, you know, what do you consider good? And of course Raheem was like, I don't know, but look, man, if it goes through the uprights, it's probably the easiest thing. I kind of with you on that, and you heard it in that cut. But he kept talking about it to the point where he essentially said, yeah, I mean, we will make a change if we see something that we that our experts say is better. But I'll tell you this. You know, the kicking game and Younghoe Koo in particular is kind of being put on blast right now. One of my favorite guys in that building overall, player, coach, is Marquise Williams. I'm a huge fan. It's time to get yourself together because the special teams as a whole was abysmal. The punt return that Cameron Johnson gets. You gave up. Everybody wants to kill this defense. Yeah, you gave up three passing touchdowns. Essentially, they were all on shorter fields. Turnover on downs at the 50. The punt return that put the ball back around the 40 somewhere. And then the bad kickoff after the touchdown by Koo, or not bad kickoff, but the bad kick return coverage. I think Sean Tucker returned it all the way like the 40-something. And then they go down. None of that is acceptable. Then two of those were on special teams. So the special teams as a whole was not very good.
Well, one thing I'm interested to hear you guys talk about today is the film review that you're doing. Bo, you're in your office, but I have the privilege of sitting next to Mike out in the bullpen every morning.
That is not good.
And I mean, the emotional turmoil that was happening to your face as you're watching the film, I'm just interested to hear you guys break this down. Coming up next.
A lot of references to our Lord and Savior while I was sitting there.
There were. Coming up, the Falcons' next opponent. They just had an incredible rally to win last night's game. We'll dig into it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.